T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Harvey, let's go!
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Get out of here, Tony Gill. You don't even work here anymore. It's the David Ross Show.
Chicago!
Cubs manager David Ross on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
I think it's clear I really like my job. The ups and downs of it are what fuel you and what is passion. I miss these guys. The working with and being a part of a team, it feels good.
David Ross, World Series hero.
And now the 1-2 pitch on the way to Ross. Swung on, hit in the air, deep center field. Back goes Davis. Back near the track, near the wall. Davis leaping, and that ball is a home run.
David Ross with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
We are going to talk with the manager of your Chicago Cubs, David Ross, and he is back and better than ever. Don't worry, there's also some Bears stuff that we're going to do today. We're going to talk a little bit of college football on the show today as well. But now we get a chance to catch up with our guy. David Ross joins me on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Rossi, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Lawrence. Good to see you. Good, not see you, but I guess good to talk to you. It's been a little while.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you, too. Like, I went on vacation, then you went on the COVID list. How are you feeling?
I'm fine. Never any symptoms, never felt bad. Just close contact, tested positive once, and had to go through the protocols of just making sure everything was all right. But I'm back at it. Was there the last game, went off to yesterday, and now here in Philly, getting ready to take on the Phillies.
Well, I'm glad, number one, that you were vaccinated and that you didn't have to worry about any symptoms popping up for you. I know there have been some breakthrough cases where that hasn't been the case, but I'm glad that you're doing all right, man. I was a little bit worried. But it seems like you handled quarantine very well. What did you do inside of quarantine?
I caught up on some. Well, my kids are in the middle of stuff back home, football and volleyball, and things are starting up. So I got to watch some of those games via FaceTime and stuff, and watched a lot of college football and watched a lot of baseball. I mean, was just tuned into Marquee and listening to the guys break down the games. The guys played really well for the most part. Some exciting games. Frank went off. Happer swinging it well. I just, watched a lot of that. Saw kind of a different perspective and, ordered some Postmates and quarantine. That's about all I could do.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about what that must be like, because I've seen you manage up close. Like, you're an active manager. So when you're watching the games, are you watching it like a student, or are you pacing about in your house looking at the game and being nervous?
Not really nervous. I wouldn't say that at all. I mean, I think like you're walking. It's a different dynamic, right? I have no control over what's going on. So you're walking through what you would do. I still have the information, all my stuff in front of me that I have during the game, or some of the stuff that I walked through before the game. And so I'll look at some of that every once in a while in a matchup and trying to, sometimes I know who's available and who's not, and just walking through it with Greeny at times and, kind of playing it out in my head. But it's such a different perspective when you don't have control and there's nothing really to do. So there's really not any nerve. You just sit back and kind of there's a little bit of a fandom in there that goes along with it too. And then there's also like things will pop up that you'll see on TV, you know, the different perspective where you're looking at the strike zone so much, you can see balls and strikes and where pitches miss and where we're set up and how we attack hitters, some of that stuff. You jot down just notes of things that you might want to mention to the guys, or I'll send text messages to the coaches on things that I picked up that that maybe we can take to the players.
So you actually found some value in this, and you're trying to make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken bleep.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, like I don't think I can ever, I tell you what you get at home and you watch it on TV and you realize how fortunate you are to be sitting in that dugout and being a part of a team. Like you really miss that. That's what I miss the most. Like some of those walk-off wins and the great comebacks and guys scoring and getting big hits. And, you know, there's so much happiness and joy in that. There's also a little bit of like sadness. You're like, man, I should be there. I should be in the middle of that. So yeah, you try to make the most of it and try to learn and teach and process what you're seeing and how, you know, we're in a mode of like always continually try to get better. We never try to get out of that mode. So you're just trying to find those little small advantages that you may see other teams do or that you pick up on your own group where you want to kind of reward or encourage them to keep doing certain things. And then there's some areas where you want to maybe try to, oh, maybe we can do this a little bit differently.
Cubs manager David Ross joining me here on The Score. Speaking of managing, I mean, I think there's some irony to the fact that Andy Green probably wants to be a manager. He gets the chance to be a manager. And what does he do? He gets thrown out.
Right. I tells you, I thought that was really funny in the middle of it, like all the other coaches probably scrambling on, you know, Tommy and Borzy and Post and everybody in the dugout kind of scrambling. Valleca, to who's making decisions with Knapp and Willie at third, all those guys are kind of fending for themselves all of a sudden once Greeny gets tossed. But I thought it gave a good vision into like how passionate Greeny is. Like I get to sit next to him, you guys don't get to hear him speak very much, but he's very passionate. He's an extremely highly competitive human being. And those are some of the same things that I hear in my ear during the game and some of the fun, intense moments that maybe come out of me, saw come out of him. And I think it's very similar to the way that he talks and coaches. You saw his passion for his players come out, that the middle infield group, especially right there with the slide. And, you know, it was kind of ironic that he got tossed out of the first game. I said, that's not what he was supposed to do. But it was definitely a funny moment after all the dust settled.
Overall, your team has been playing better. And during that stretch where you were out, there was a nice little run that was going on with the Cubs. So for you, this season has been a bit of a roller coaster. What's it like to get to this place where you're seeing guys that are having some success, guys that are later on in their career having some success, guys that are getting a chance now to play and having some success? What's it like for you to watch this part of it?
It's rewarding. You realize the path and the track record for a lot of these guys and the road they've taken and to get everyday opportunities and succeed is rewarding, man. I mean, for them, for us, for you know, guys like Frank and Wiz and Ortega and Rivas, these guys that are getting their opportunities to and taking advantage of them. It's just, you know, it's fun. It's fun to be a part of. It's fun to watch them grow and compete and continue to bring it every day. And the way they enjoy coming to the ballpark and competing every day is just uplifting, I think, for everybody. And I think we all understand that, you know, we're not pushing for any kind of playoff spot, but the fact that these guys compete and fight right up to the end. And when we get good pitching, like we're in almost every single game and, you know, these guys find a way to add on late in the games. We've been doing a really good job of that. Even with San Francisco coming in, who's the best team in baseball record wise and already clinched a playoff spot there. We found a way to compete. We didn't win any games, but we found a way to compete, especially on that last one where, you know, we're in there right up into the end and putting some pressure on those guys. It's fun to be a part of.
There's a couple players that I want to ask you about, two pitchers in particular, Justin Steele and Cody Hoyer. I want to start with Justin Steele. How do you think that he's adapted to being given an opportunity to start?
I think great. I think really good. I think he's learning what it takes on a nightly outing when he has to come in and go through the lineup multiple times and how to try to be efficient and compete. I think he's a guy that wants to get more out of himself every time he takes the mound. I feel like he's very similar to some other guys that are getting opportunities where they grow each outing and you're seeing adjustments and hearing them say and talk about the right things. It's been really, really, I've been really pleased with how Justin's gone about his business. And I think he's got a nice future ahead of him. And if he can continue to stay healthy and grow towards a guy that takes the bump every fifth day.
I'm invested in Cody Hoyer, Rossi. And the reason why is I've been telling Cubs fans, look, I know that you're looking at this trade and saying, well, you know, what did the Cubs get? I think that there's an eighth or ninth inning guy in Cody Hoyer on a regular basis. And so far he's proven me right. What has he been doing well?
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's got such a funky delivery and the stuff's real. He's got a real, you know, slider. He's dominated righties for his time in the big leagues, scuffed a little bit more against lefties this year and made some adjustments on that since coming to us. So I'm with you. I see it back in the bullpen type guy. His demeanor for me, the way he comes to work every day, puts the work in, open to making adjustments, his mentality and attitude on the mound, it's refreshing. He's here to do a job. He's here to have fun. He's going to lock it in and go compete with the best of them. I've definitely seen that in the short time he's been here. I'm definitely happy with the player and the human being we've gotten.
On Friday, you were watching from home. The Chris Bryant tribute I thought was touching, and it clearly touched him. Like, you could see how emotional he was about coming back. And I thought the Cubs as an organization did a really great job of handling those moments. What did you see while watching it?
Yeah, I got to talk to KB a little bit. I was bummed I wasn't going to be able to be there. It just, same thing. It took me back, to be honest, is like I had my last year and some of the cool things that happened to me, but the video tribute just hits home. They flash back so many great memories, and he's had so many here, you know, and done so much for the organization and himself with awards and accolades and moments. And to watch that, you know, be put up and watch him go right in front of him and watch him go through those emotions of, you know, I don't know that you ever really are able to look back too much in this game until your career's over on what you've been able to do. And you have a 5-minute video there of like a lot of really cool special moments for him and that Cub in the Cubs uniform. And, you know, it's emotional. I thought it was very genuine. I thought it was great to see him get a little emotional in front of everybody. And I thought the fans came out and supported him. And I thought it was a really nice moment for him.
It was a worthy homecoming for a guy that's done a lot for the Cubs organization overall. Rossi, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you jumping back on here. I'm glad you're healthy and you're back in the dugout. And I look forward to talking in a couple of weeks to kind of wrap things up.
Yes, sir. All right, Lawrence. Take care, buddy. Have a great day.
You do the same. That is David Ross, the manager of your Chicago Cubs. I gotta tell you, man, every week, the more we talk with him, the more I like him. And I hope that he gets I hope he gets the groceries that he needs to field a winning team and play out. But I really like his approach to the way that he's doing the job. So, Herbie, are we base dropping today? I didn't know if you had put something together because last week you surprised me after we were done with Stone.
We are not base dropping today. Sorry, guys.
Sorry, Twitch. We are not base dropping
today. When I do the David Ross open, it has part of the open there. That's the point. When I do the Stone one, it's not the same open.
That's true. It's a completely different open. So, all right. Appreciate that. Letting people know there'll be no base drops. You have to base drop mentally if you're on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. You can also get in touch with the show via text. 312-644-6767 is the number. By the way, the top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I've been really sitting and thinking about the Justin Fields, Matt Nagy, Andy Dalton dynamic. And I want to try and go through this and be as fair to everyone as I can. But I do have a point of view on the subject. I want to talk to you about it next here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Third down coming up, Mustafer to Dalton, looking, throwing, passes tipped and intercepted in the end zone by the LA Rams. It was tipped by Young into the back of the end zone, and the Rams have taken the ball away on a red zone turnover, the worst kind possible. David Long Jr., the nickel, with the interception.
That is right, Jeff Joniak. It is the worst type of turnover that you can have inside the red zone. And highlight courtesy of our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. There is a Bears thing that I want to do, and I will get to it momentarily. There was some White Sox news. If you had not heard, there was a ton of movement for the roster. Tim Anderson's back. Lucas Giolito is back. Zach Collins has been recalled from Charlotte. So if they're sending a catcher up, that means they're sending a catcher down. Sebi Zavala goes back to Charlotte. How many options they have left on Danny Mendick? Danny Mendick is sent back to Charlotte. Andrew Vaughn placed on the 10-day injured list, and maybe that's why we saw him tail off offensively over the last few weeks. So Lucas Giolito will be back tonight. That's really, really good news. Tim Anderson will be back tonight. He is the straw that stirs the drink for your Southside Nine. Now, football stuff. Let's talk about Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. I found, for the most part, the conversation about Justin Fields and Andy Dalton to be level-headed in discussing it, with some outliers here or there. I thought it was interesting that nationally it has now become a discussion point on whether or not Justin Fields should be playing. My feeling has been, look, I understand why they're starting Andy Dalton. My bigger issue is you never at any point allowed for there to be a competition. And that to me seemed like a really bad strategy. You never allowed yourself to be wowed by Justin Fields in the way that you would if you were actually trying to do, let's look at it as a hiring. If you were actually trying to do a hiring of starting quarterback for 2021, you had already decided who the candidate was, who the person you were going to give the job to, even though the other person might be more qualified to help you win games in 2021 and beyond. I also understand there are going to be rookies that every rookie is going to struggle. In the history of the NFL, there's really been no one that's come out and blazed. Even the best quarterbacks in the history of the league have struggled in their rookie season. There have been some guys where you look at him and go, oh, it doesn't take a whole day to recognize sunshine. Shout out to Comet. Justin Herbert last year, after they malpracticed Tyrod Taylor with the needle, Justin Herbert went out there and balled, and is still balling. That's one of my issues with the Bears and Matt Nagy in particular, is you didn't have to go so hard with Andy Dalton. This is our plan. You hear Matt Nagy talking a lot about that in his press conferences. This is our plan. This is what we had always planned to do. This is how we plan to use Justin, blah, 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 blah. Even though Justin Fields scored last week and they gave him five plays, and I was happy that he got on the field, I heard Sage Rosenfels talking with Dan and Layla, and I agree that to a certain extent, just getting used to your pads being underneath you is significant. Like, getting snaps in an NFL regular season game is significant. But we're also talking about a player who played in front of 100,000 people, crowds, big time college football. This isn't Carson Wentz. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not a guy coming from North Dakota State, where maybe for a little bit of time, the pressure and the eyes that are on that quarterback would be something that he's not used to. And if we go all the way back to his career at Georgia and all the way back to his career in high school, where he was the number one recruit in the country, it's not as if he's not used to pressure. Now I want to get to the strategic part of it, as we just talked about, like, some of the stuff that's on the surface. The strategic part of it, and why I think Matt Nagy is a lesser coach than what he could be. And if you've listened to me over the last few years, I've said this about Nagy. I think the second time that he gets a head coaching job, he'll be a success. And that's unfortunate for Bears fans. But now I'm starting to worry about that too. And the reason why is he doesn't apply stuff that he's learned through trial and error. What I mean is, look at the quarterbacks that have come through and played for Matt Nagy. Look at what he said about those quarterbacks. Look at the feedback that the quarterbacks have given him, and he's ignored it. With Mitch, it was, okay, yeah, I really like this system. This is fun. We could do a lot of cool things with this system. Would it be that bad if we move the pocket and cut down my reads? Would it be that bad to get me out on the move and allow me to make plays with my feet? They did Mitch a disservice with trying to beat into his head that quarterbacks win from the pocket. Quarterbacks win. The great quarterbacks win. And whatever it takes. For Peyton Manning, yes, he has to win from the pocket, because there isn't a lot of mobility there. There's almost none. And by the way, even with Peyton Manning, pockets rolled. Bootlegs were used. Play action was used for Peyton Manning. So even the most statue-like quarterback that we can think of had some movement in his offensive package. Mitch is telling you this, and the film is telling you that Mitch isn't going to win from the pocket. That's not to say that he can't. He did not make touchdown throws from the pocket. He did. He sometimes made touchdown throws that ended up being dropped in playoff games. Stuff like that. But overall fit and comfort inside of what the Bears want to do offensively, it was never something that they actively considered. Now let's talk about Nick Foles. They brought in Nick Foles. And whether it was Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy, when they talked about Nick Foles and what he brought to the table, he had a clear understanding of what it is that they wanted to do. The strength of Nick Foles was supposedly he was better at post-snap reads. So if we're talking about the RPO stuff, Foles was better at the post-snap reads than Trubisky was. He was more ensconced in what it is that they were trying to do offensively. That's what made him the choice over Mitch to start the season last year. Here's a guy with a better understanding of what it is that we want to do. It'll work out better for us. Foles went out and played in the system and then said, we can't block what you want to do. Therefore, we should probably change some of the things that we do. And what happened? Foles didn't succeed in the offense. They went back to Mitch. And for a few weeks, they were doing some of the things that you had asked to do. Is it coincidence that Bill Lazor was the play caller during that portion of time? I'm not sure. But there was an emphasis on the run game where David Montgomery was getting 20 touches, 20 carries per game in that six-game stretch where things looked better. It did seem like they were doing less with Mitch, and Mitch was having success. They also play bad defenses that cannot be overlooked. So then we get to the offseason. There's been a ton of feedback from QB1, QB2, QB2, QB1. And instead of taking that feedback as a way to improve your system, Matt Nagy, which has been what he's done since he's been here, is like, we just need the right quarterback. Okay, so Ryan Pace, after striking out multiple times in trying to do trades in the offseason, says, I'll give you Andy Dalton. We'll run out and get Andy Dalton because there was a run on quarterbacks. And so you end up giving him a $7 million raise to come be the starter. And we're all upset about it. I do think that it's a little unfair to Andy Dalton, but this is what he kind of signed up for. They clearly made promises to him that he was going to be the starting quarterback. But then, by stroke of luck and some bad GMing out in Denver, Justin Fields becomes available. They make the move to go up and get Justin Fields. Great. Now you have a quarterback that can seemingly run what it is that you do. That quarterback, though, is more than that. He's got the ability to do more than just run your system. There are times when I feel like Matt Nagy just wants to see his system run the way that he imagines it instead of trying to win games. So after they make this choice, then Nagy says, Dalton's the starter, lock it down. It's not going to be Justin Fields. Okay, cool. And then you did that on Sunday. In telling us the virtue of having Andy Dalton, well, it's going to be a cleaner operation. And he understands the system that we run. And he knows these coaches. And he worked with Bill Lazor. And that's when he had his best time when he was in Cincinnati. And then you got that on Sunday. Even if for the people who are like, oh, you know, Andy Dalton played. Andy Dalton turned the ball over twice, and one of them was red zone. And beyond that, he threw for 6 yards per pass. He did not play well. He didn't. And he didn't inspire confidence by throwing a red zone interception, which was something that they always hated when it happened to the other guy, when Mitch did it. This is the point that I'm trying to get to. And it's one of the things that frustrates me about Matt Nagy. He is so beholden to his system. He can't get out of his own way. And it makes me worry that me thinking that in his next iteration as head coach, he'll figure it out. And maybe some smarter coach that's close to him will be like, you're too dependent on a system. And you use data points that are confirmation bias. Here's what I mean. He will tell you that part of the reason that Justin Fields is sitting behind Andy Dalton is because when he was in Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith. And that disregards two very fundamental points. Andy Dalton is not Alex Smith. One, and Patrick Mahomes might have been great even if he did start. Mahomes has gone on record saying that there was some value for him learning and the system behind Alex Smith. And I don't doubt his veracity at all on that. But when I look at the situation with Andy Dalton and with Justin Fields, it's not analogous to what went on in Kansas City. And what I struggle with is the great coaches figure out ways, and I don't even mean like winning coaches, but the great position coaches, coordinators, they figure out a way to go, oh, okay, I have this. What can I do with this? And not, what can this do in my system? I think Justin Fields, for what it looks like the Bears want to do with inside zone read stuff and RPO stuff, I think that he can work in that system. I also think that there are multiple systems that he could work in. And that's the difference between him and Andy Dalton. He's not system specific. He might have talent to transcend. This brings me back to the Mitch stuff. All I want my coach to do is show adaptability. Ryan Pace finally gave you something to work with. Work with it. If your game plan against the Rams was, we're going to have a horizontal passing game and pray that we stick in it long enough that we have a chance in the fourth quarter, I would say that the rookie could have done that game plan. While you're extolling the idea of, well, Andy Dalton got the ball out quick, I've looked at tape of Justin Fields. And if what you're saying is he could make those reads, if you're saying that he can't, I would tell you that there's a mountain of tape that says that he can't. And you could have done that. But I don't even want him to throw that game plan out for Justin Fields. What I want him to do is look at what he actually has and then devise it. If that means that your play card shrinks, so be it. If you want to dress it up, flip formations. That's all you have to do until you feel like he can handle more. But I also think that a lot of us are talking about Justin Fields like he didn't run a complicated offense at Ohio State. Yes, I do think the speed of the game is significantly different from college. And yes, there are going to be growing pains. Wouldn't you rather go through those growing pains with him instead of Andy Dalton, who you told me wasn't going to have any growing pains because he knew the system and he's a veteran quarterback? What is the point of the exercise now? Because it feels like for Matt Nagy, his point is proving that his system works. And what he should be doing is trying to win. And win and develop. You can do both. You don't have to completely punt on the 2021 season. The Chargers were in it for a big portion of the season last year. They didn't make it to the playoffs, but they were winning games and losing close ones. All Andy Dalton gives you is the same type of lame system quarterback, system-dependent quarterback that he's been trying to find instead of mining the gold that is a guy who played at a big college, who won big games, who showed you that he has the capacity to handle a ton of information, who's shown you that he has the physicality to use in a run game, who's shown you that he's tough as nails. All you have to do is put in the work to make it work instead of trying to put everything into the context of the offense that you want to run. It's disappointing, and it makes Matt Nagy a lesser coach. Top Five's next. Back after this on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes live from Chicago, middays noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Five, one, two, three, four, five.
Top Five Tuesdays on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
But since the day is Tuesday, it doesn't matter in the slightest.
Top Five Tuesdays.
I've only seen a couple, but that's definitely top five.
Is it Tuesday?
Can't you ask me an intelligent question?
Is this the Lawrence Holmes Show?
You're damn skippy.
Then it's Top Five Tuesdays on the Lawrence Holmes Show. Got it? Good.
Yeah, on Tuesdays we do Top Five, and I thought about doing some food stuff today, but then I was like, it's football season, so why don't we stick with some football? This is my top five moments of the football that I watched over the weekend. I know some people are going to be mad. Like, I didn't watch Chandler Jones. I was just seeing the highlights, and it was amazing what he did. Amazing. But these are games I, like, sat down and watched and spent some time with. So I wanted to give you my top five moments from things that I saw around football. Number five.
32, A.J. Green.
Kid ran a 10-3 in high school. Just showed that track speed for 30 yards of dynamite here in Fayetteville.
I'm so glad that we won't have the redundant week four storylines of Texas is back and Michigan is back. Texas got welcomed into the SEC with an ass whooping down in Fayetteville. That Arkansas team looks real physical and tough. I don't know if they have enough talent to be like a legitimate title contender in the SEC, but they got some physicality, and Texas came to Fayetteville and got ran. It was beautiful. And now I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about Texas is back. College game day is going to Austin. Texas is back. No, they're not. And they're going to make the move over to the SEC, and it's the right thing for them to do. And they are going to spend an eternity getting their asses whooped by places like Arkansas. And quite honestly, Kentucky. That was number five. Number four.
Here's Cooper. Four-man rush for Florida State. Going to cut it loose. Phil Yaw Johnson caught it. Inside the 10, Phil Yaw Johnson on his feet. He'll cut back, and Jacksonville State has won at the horn.
Florida State had this, like, moral victory loss against Notre Dame in week one. And then in week two, they invited Jacksonville State, which is not in Florida. Did you know that, Herbie?
I did not know that.
It's in Alabama.
I mean, that works.
Sure. They invited Jacksonville State to Tallahassee. And the beauty of it, the absolute beauty of it, it was 4th and 10, and the coach didn't go into prevent. Because, and I think there was, 7 seconds left in the game? Because he was afraid that they would hit an intermediate pass and kick a field goal. He was worried about Jackson State having one timeout left. Can you believe this? And everyone felt so great because Mackenzie Milton went out there and did work against Notre Dame, and it felt great even though Florida State lost. This thing, wow. It was amazing to watch it disintegrate into Jacksonville State. I don't even know what city they're in Alabama, but they're definitely in Alabama. The Sun Belt, right? Aren't they a Sun Belt team? And I don't think that they're supposed to win the Sun Belt. They're in Jacksonville, Alabama. Duh. I don't know where Jacksonville, Alabama is. Let's see if we can get this on the map. Jacksonville, Alabama. It looks like, let's see.
Looks like Northern Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, it's east, it's northeast of Birmingham.
So, Georgia area.
Yeah.
Probably getting some Georgia boys over there.
Sure. It's fine. Sun Belt, SEC Junior. Went down to Tallahassee and took care of work. Number three.
Jeff, Andy Dalton, I see him go to the sideline.
4th snap of the night for the Ohio State rookie. He had a tremendous training camp in preseason. 3 third-down conversions this drive for the Bears. 4 of 8 overall. Will they use his legs on this snap? 1st and goal, 3-yard line. Backs to either side. Motion. This time, Fields going to keep it on the read option. Cutting in. He's in for the touchdown. Knifing in between two defenders. He hit the accelerator, and he's in from the 3. Touchdown, Bears! Justin Fields, his first one. Take that football and put it in a case. 20-13, Rams, 4:14 in the third.
I mean, we just talked about Justin Fields, but it felt good to get that touchdown the way that it was. And Jeff on the call on sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. If you haven't listened to a Bears game on FM, try it this weekend. I'm telling you, if you're within the city limits, you're in like a 60-mile radius of the city, listen on FM. It's a different experience overall. Number two.
Brady in the gun. Got the snap. They rush 4. Has the block. There's a line drive far side. Back pedaling catch. Godwin on the far side of the 25. Broke a tackle. Goes past the 20. Down the far sideline to the 16-yard line. Let's see where they mark at the 18. A 24-yard completion. Chris Godwin with the catch of the night on a back pedal and a broken tackle.
We will forget about this game as the season goes on, but the Tampa Bay-Dallas game to open up the NFL season will be one of the best games that was played this season. But you left too much time for Tom Brady. And Tom Brady was on the sideline going, you left me too much time. Watch this. And then they won the game. It's amazing. It was a wonderful game. Dak Prescott was fantastic, but that dude was over there, and you left him too much time, and he made you pay for it. Then number one.
In the slot at the bottom. Here's Stroud looking for his crossing route. Stroud on the move. Stroud delivers. Picked off. Intercepted. Verone McKinley. And that may do it.
Watching Ohio State lose was delicious. It really was. Now, I say this as an Alabama fan, and you start looking around for who's actually going to be competitive when this thing is all done, all said and done. And quite honestly, I know some real cocky Ohio State fans. They're in my circle of friends. I'm talking to you, Brandon Pope. I'm talking directly to you, BP. I mean, just a lot of yak, 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 yak about the team that got beat by 4 touchdowns in the national championship game. A lot of yak, 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 yak.
Damn time, baby.
I get that you run the Big Ten. You run it. You run the Big Ten. Congratulations that you run it. But you don't run nothing else up in here. And Oregon came to Columbus and was like, we're not afraid. Now, they almost gave the game away. But they hung tough. And my favorite thing, it was my absolute most favorite thing from this weekend. Oregon wins the game in Columbus at the Shoe. You got beat at the Shoe? And someone put a rubber duck on the 50-yard line in the middle of the O. That's gangster. And that's my top five. My conversation with the GOAT, Devin Hester, is next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.